Well, I'd like to kick off today by disclosing that I have no conflicting relationships in this presentation. And what I want to do is I want to tell a story about how I conducted this research and what came of it. And basically, the start of the story is the teen birth rate in Texas is among the highest in the nation at 63 per 1,000 per year. And in some school districts here in Harris County where we're working, the teen birth rate is over 100 per 1,000 per year. So you can see these are broken down. These are teen birth rates by zip codes, and the overlaying boundaries are of the school districts. In Harris County, we have over 22 school districts, ranging in size from Houston, which has 200,000 students, to someplace like Waller, which has 3,000 students. So we have a wide range of demographics and political leanings, and that's what we have to deal with when we're trying to tell people about this contentious political issue, because public discussions of teen sexuality can be problematic and have been in our presentation trying to mobilize communities to address teen pregnancy. Because of this conservative political climate in Texas, few school districts teach comprehensive sex education. Most teach abstinence until marriage. So in light of this problem, colleagues at the UT Prevention Research Center decided to try and mobilize communities around the issue. And they used some common strategies for mobilizing people. One is to align common values among scholars, practitioners, and community members. Scholars being the university academics, practitioners being teachers and administrators in the school districts. Because of the political tensions surrounding sex education discussions of teen sexuality, we've decided to redefine the issue or transform it to focus on teen pregnancy prevention, noting in particular how the specific outcome of teen sexual behavior affects academic achievement and economic opportunities. This process includes amplifying those shared values such as family education and economic participation. So those are the things we want to bring to the fore of these discussions. Second, we also want to create an inclusive and collaborative environment for the discussion. Welcome participation of all stakeholders in the discussion and decision-making process. We certainly want to see competing views come in, especially at the early stages, because most people feel that there is a problem, and many people are hesitant to talk about sex education, even though we found very little opposition. There's always the perception that someone out there is going to create a big brouhaha about this. So we want to include everybody, certainly in the beginning. So what we came up with is the We Can Do More campaign. And the first step of mobilizing communities is to raise awareness of the problem. So about 3 years ago, my colleagues and co-authors created this We Can Do More presentation to demonstrate the scope of the problem of teen pregnancy in local school districts. And this is basically a PowerPoint presentation using statistical evidence in a narrative format to summarize teen sexual behavior, the outcomes of this behavior, primarily teen pregnancy, but also HIV and other sexually transmitted infections, the economic costs of the outcomes in terms of academic achievement, economic participation, and possible solutions to the problem, including the implementation of evidence-based curricula. Because this is a brief policy presentation, there was a conscious effort to try and avoid or limit the discussions of teen sexuality, although the issue always comes up. We didn't want to make that the focus of the discussion. We wanted to present the problem and then let people try and figure it out themselves. Also, the campaign has progressed as more school districts are aware of the issue, and so the focus of the campaign has shifted from the presentation of basic information and outcomes toward discussions of preventive measures. 2 years ago, when I started observing these presentations, people weren't really aware of what was going on, but now school districts are aware. And so the campaign has changed over time, and partly to meet the interests and needs of the different school districts, but also because the information that they are getting is changing. And what really helped with this mobilization process was the existence of an organizational framework within school districts that brought together different community stakeholders to make decisions about school health policies. And these are the school health advisory councils, or SHACs. They're in other states. I'm having trouble finding information on how many states they're in. But this is a requirement from the Texas legislature that each school district has a SHAC. And so the SHAC is composed of district administrators, teachers, and parents. And parents are supposed to make up half the SHAC, and they are given the majority of the voting power. I'm on the Houston Independent School District SHAC as a parent, and I have a lot of say in what happens with regard to health policy. So the SHAC mission is to evaluate district health policies and advise the district on the adoption and implementation of health programs. So basically, the methods of this study were my colleagues presented the We Can Do More presentation, and I observed their presentations and audience reactions to it, taking notes during the process. I also went to subsequent SHAC meetings and school board presentations to see how this discussion played out over time as they moved from learning more about teen pregnancy to trying and implementing policy changes at the district level. And this has been almost over 50 meetings over the past couple of years in the 14 school districts we've been working in. And the first thing to note is that SHACs vary greatly in size and composition and decision-making processes. So you'll have some SHACs that are very open and collaborative and participatory, and then you'll have some SHACs where a lot of people show up, but the real decisions happen behind closed doors among just a handful of people. And I'll get into that in our findings, because that had an effect on how people used evidence and made their decisions. So basically, the We Can Do More presentation is a presentation of data from various levels, national, state, and local, from a variety of sources. So we have comparisons. Top left-hand side, you can see where Texas is at the bottom of the food chain when it comes to teen pregnancy prevention compared to other countries and other states. We also draw from the popular media talking about repeat births in Texas. And then on the bottom right-hand side, we extrapolate some of these numbers for specific school districts to let them know exactly how many students of theirs are having sex at the different grade levels. The We Can Do More presentation at SHAC sometimes takes the form of a didactic lecture, but more often there is a dialogue during the presentation where SHAC members support and or refute what is in the presentation with their own evidence. And this evidence consists of personal observations, such as pregnant teen bodies wandering the school hallways, and stories of teen sexual behaviors that circulate throughout the community. For example, there was one school district that came to us and was very interested in having us speak to their SHAC and school board because a couple of teens had been caught having sex on the baseball field a few weeks before, and so that had gotten around the community, and they said, well, we need to do something about this. So here, the validity of evidence, unlike the scientific evidence we're used to working with, the validity of evidence is determined by its relevance to the local condition. So districts are primarily concerned with local data or with information that pertains to similar districts. Another thing that came up was we would always talk about Houston Independent School District, but the rural or more suburban districts weren't really interested in what Houston was doing. They were more interested in what is our neighboring district that's like us demographically, politically, what are they doing? So we've always had to be mindful of that and adapt our presentations to reflect those differences. Perhaps the most effective way of personalizing the data for each district is to produce a map that identifies the teen pregnancy rate for schools in other geographic areas. So early versions of the We Can Do More presentation just had the big general county-wide map. And then we started making these specific district maps. But even that wasn't enough, because people are always trying to say, okay, well, the data, 63 per thousand or 100 per thousand, how do I situate myself or my child in that data? You really can't. And even with these maps, the early versions, they didn't have any highways or schools, and so people were, I watched people, and they were trying to say, well, where are we in that? So once you place the school and you see that your daughter is going to a school in one of these dark red areas, that makes it a lot more personal and brings it home to people. So these have been very effective in mobilizing people. And this is what generates the most conversation in meetings, and it's what most shacks request when developing policy recommendations for the school board. So in summary, what we found was that the personalization of data was critical for mobilizing communities. They didn't really want to see what France or the Netherlands were doing. They wanted to see what they were doing or what their neighbors who were like them were doing. Also, the shacks that were more inclusive and collaborative were far more likely to use the scientific evidence in making their decisions about teen pregnancy programs. And thinking back about it in the districts that decided not to implement programs, it was in these situations where school districts made their decisions behind closed doors. So the shacks that were very open and transparent, mutually respectful in the discussions, even if there was some dissent, they always moved toward a situation where, you know, at least they came to a consensus, and it was usually to adopt an evidence-based comprehensive sex program. We had one district which has the largest shack meetings of over 150 people. I think it was mostly because it was catered lunch. And I asked them, well, how do you all make decisions? And they go, oh, well, me and the other coordinator make all the decisions afterward. And they were very supportive of our efforts, but they retired last year with the budget cuts. So everything fell apart, and it wasn't a sustainable way of making decisions. So we lost all of that momentum because they just made their decisions on their own without really including anybody else. In other shacks, the school board didn't take the shack recommendations because they had already made up their own minds about what was valid evidence. And I went to one school board meeting where it was all about values. They mentioned values 15 times and didn't mention health once. So these are the different kinds of things we had to think about. Finally, the last thing I want to point out is every time we went somewhere, we would get this statement when they introduced themselves by saying, we are a conservative community. Perhaps that's thinking, oh, we're coming from the ivory tower in the big city, Houston, and for some reason we aren't conservative or we don't share those same values. And so they're trying to establish a common framework where we can communicate. And we're there to say, you know, we share those values too. We're not, I don't know what they think we are, but we have those shared values as well. So that was very important. So you need to overcome these divisions or these perceived divisions through the alignment of values and evidence in composing a common narrative. And in closing, I'd like to thank participating school districts and the people who funded this.